So I'd appreciate your prayers this morning, your attention. I'd like to talk to you about this 91st Psalm. We turn over there. I'd like to maybe share just a little bit of an experience I had a number of years ago, a job I had at the time. Some of my co-workers were having difficulty being there a full 40 hours a week. The place I worked wanted them to be available to take care of people's cars that broke down, and I don't remember just how many others that I was working with in the shop at the time, but they seemed to come in late and leave early and take more than an hour for lunch. And so they were doing good to have 38 hours in a week. So the boss, I was putting in about 50 hours a week, and they was putting in about 38. And at the time, the boss said, I want to be able to incentivize them to be at work. So they come up with this plan that everybody that could be there for 45 hours in the week would get a dollar an hour raise for that week. Now, I really like that. Because I was already there 50 hours. But did you know that not everybody else got that dollar an hour raise? And that's pretty easy, isn't it? You could just bring a sandwich and eat your lunch in 20 minutes and go back to work, and you could have fixed the problem. You could have still got there a little late and maybe worked through half your lunch hour and got the extra dollar an hour. Now, anyway, the point I'm telling that to you for is the dollar, the extra dollar, was contingent on them doing something, on them meeting an expectation. All right? So, I believe that Christianity and living a Christian life is the best thing that a person could do. I believe that. But to receive the benefit that Christianity provides, there's something that we have to participate in and that we have to contribute to reach the full benefit. Now, you know, if you're there 45 hours a week on the job and you got an extra dollar for being there for 45 hours, that's $45 a week. It'd buy at least a couple combos at Culver's now. It might buy you one pretty decent meal at Longhorn. You couldn't take your wife and get it for 45, but you could eat pretty good at Longhorn's for $45. But let's look at the 91st Psalm. And in looking at the 91st Psalm, I want to share something that I've come across in studying this Psalm. And what I've come across is something is said about it in, so we know that the earliest scriptures that was written, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He's accredited with that anyway. And it was written in a ancient Hebrew dialect, what they spoke and what they wrote. But over the course of years, and we know that When the Israelites went into the Babylonian captivity, they were forced to pick up some language and cultural practices because they were in captivity for 70 years. Now, if you were in captivity for 70 years, you're going to learn the local language. There are those that I know that are of German descent that were raised in Russia that learned Russian, and maybe some of them that's my age or older still only read the Bible in Russian. They're German, but they read the Bible in Russian. And that's the language that they're most comfortable with. And the Targum, if I've got that right, is an Aramaic translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew to Aramaic. And Aramaic is the language they spoke in Babylon. And the Targum was not just a translation, there was also comments in that. Okay? Kind of like a commentary and the scripture all in one. So I'm going somewhere with this. So in the Targum, this 91st Psalm is considered to be three people speaking to one another in conversation. The first one being David, and the second one being Solomon, and the third one being God himself. So I'd like to look at the 91st Psalm from that perspective, that it's three people that's having a conversation here. It's not a very long psalm. But I'd like for us to get a hold of it and the contingencies that are in it. Because it says in my Bible at the top, right under Psalms 91, it says, "Happy state of the godly." Now, I told you earlier that I believe that being a Christian is the best thing that a person can do with your life. I believe it's the most fulfilling, satisfying, rewarding life that a person can live. I've endeavored by the grace of God to live that way. I met a guy yesterday that used a lot of language that I don't think he should have used. And I was trying to disassemble something, and it came apart, and he said, "You must be living right. And I said, "Well, I try real hard. I want to be pleasing to the Lord." And he said, "I do too." And I thought, you know, I wished you'd learned a little better. Because he had a lot of expressions that I would want somebody to say in this building. But that's beside the point. I want us to understand that there is a level of contingency, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I believe that the contingencies that were given here were accepted in good faith, and they were given in good faith, and they were most likely this conversation between David and Solomon, his son, was done when Solomon was much younger. You know when Solomon became king? When David died. Solomon didn't become king, and he didn't have the power to do the things that he did until David was gone. He was not here anymore. And you know, I believe that if David had been alive when Solomon made some of the choices that he did, I think that he might have pointed him back to this 91st Psalm. So let's pay attention as we read it. It seems to start with David, and he said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He that dwelleth, take up a residence. I dwell, my house sometimes could be called a dwelling. So he that lives on a day in, day out basis in the secret place of the Most High. What is a secret? That's something between two people. Just before we started our service, Brother Rob came and said to me something out loud, and I said, it's a secret. Right? It's just between me and him. Because I told him what I was doing yesterday, but it's a secret. He that takes up a residence in the secret place of the Most High, the place that is private, that's personal, with you and God. David is telling his son, the person that'll do this, the person that'll dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what does that mean? The shall means that there's a benefit to it, does it not? If I said, if you'll work 45 hours a week, you shall get another dollar per hour that you're there, that's a benefit, right? David said to Solomon, if you will dwell, he that dwelleth, Solomon, if you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, if you'll have a personal relationship with God, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I would like to say that to all of us here today, and I believe what applied to Solomon with David's and God's instruction would apply to all of us here. If you and I will have a dwelling place that is personal, it's private, it's a secret, if you will, that the world don't know about, if they don't know the Lord for themselves. If they do, they're in on the secret. And they got their own secret with the Lord. I trust everyone here has their own secret with the Lord. And David said to Solomon, if you got the secret connection with the Lord yourself, not through me, not through somebody else, not through the priest, not through something else, but if you have the secret relationship with the Lord, and that's where you live, that's who you are. You know, you see me most of the time, most of you see me in clothes that I wear to church. A few of you have seen me in my work clothes. And some of you, a very few of you, have maybe seen me in a time of distress in my work clothes situation. But most of you don't see me at where I have to live most of my life. When the antifreeze drips on me and I bump my head and all of that kind of stuff. You don't get to see me like that. It's okay if you do, all right? But you don't get to see me like that on a regular basis. But he said, you shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, the shadow of the Almighty. There is something about, and we'll get into this a little bit more as we read through this, but the shadow, that means that there is something that's prevailing. There is going to be His oversight over your life. If we have the secret connection and we live there. And then it seems like Solomon answers him and he says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. You know, when your children are small and you say, son or daughter, if you'll listen to me, I'll help you avoid some pitfalls in life. Oh, daddy, I'm listening. I'm all ears. Some of us that have young children, you might have one just like that. You might say, son, if you watch me, you might learn something. And they'll say, I'm watching, Daddy. I want to see. I want to learn. But you know, as time goes on, many times what happens is what happened with Solomon, unfortunately. Solomon got in a place of power, and I think he forgot what he said right here. Solomon said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I'm going to have, Dad, I'm going to have that secret connection with the Lord. I'm going to have a personal experience. I'm going to know Him for myself. I'm going to hear His voice. I'm going to be in a place like the children learned this morning, like Elijah, when he heard the still small voice. Dad, I'm going to be that place. I'm going to be there. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. Because I want to be in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, I believe David's heart just kind of went pitter-patter. Oh, Solomon, that's what I want you to say. That's what I want. I want to say that. I want to hear all of you say that. I want you all to say this morning, I'm going to dwell in the secret place. I'm going to live there with a personal relationship with the Lord. I want you to be under His umbrella. So David goes on now. I believe it's David speaking in the third verse down for a ways. He said, surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The snare of the fowler. You know, there is some sneaky things in life that'll surprise you. There's things that come along that we aren't anticipating. And he said, he didn't say it wouldn't happen, but he said he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. This word noisome can mean noxious. You know, there's some poisonous, contagious things out there in our world today. Pestilence. Many times it's like a plague. It's like something that just won't go away. You know, in the Black Death in the Middle Ages, that was something people didn't know where it was coming from. And it killed people by the millions. There's more people died then, more percentage-wise, the population of the world died during the Black Plague than any other time in history. And it said here, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the surprise, the things that you weren't anticipating, couldn't anticipate, had no way to anticipate. And it was just pop, right there. It was right in your face. He'll deliver you from that. And from the noxious, contagious things. You know, there's some poisonous, contagious mentalities in our world today that are forcing themselves on all of us and makes us feel that we're wrong when we're right. There is so much that is poisonous out there, and it's a plague that has taken over in our world today. Alternative lifestyles is one of them. The willingness for people to take violence and try to solve disagreements. That is where our nation has come to. And it's a noisome pestilence that's all around us. He says the Lord will deliver us from those. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. The shield, the buckler is a type of shield that the soldier of the day wore on his left arm, making the assumption that he was right-handed. He used his weapon in the right hand, whether it was a sword or a spear, and he had a buckler on his left hand, and it could deflect arrows and darts, maybe some other types of weapons. He said, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We will not have the truth if we don't have the secret personal relationship with the Lord. We got to have that, and it's contingent. But if we do have that personal relationship with the Lord, He said He'll cover you with His feathers. He'll disguise you. He will shield you from the effects of the noxious things that's going on around us. And when you come to a place that you feel like you're in hand-to-hand combat, He'll be your shield. The truth that you have gotten from being in a relationship with Him will shield you and protect you from the onslaught of the enemy's attack. Remember, it's contingent on that secret, having that secret place with the Most High. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. You won't have to be fearful of every little thing. You will be able to go with confidence, knowing in whom you have believed. That's another scripture. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You won't have to be afraid of those kind of things, because you have a secret relationship with the Lord. It's contingent on that. If you got it, you'll be under His umbrella, His shadow. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. You know, I think sometimes of what it was like to be a young person, teenager, grow up, coming to camp meeting. I had that privilege, and my wife had that privilege. And some of you here had that privilege. Not all of you, but some of you did. My parents brought me to the Monarch Springs camp meeting. We went to Myrtle, and I was able to go to Guthrie a few times as a teenager. And I had the interaction with other young people. And I remember the large group of young people, my age bracket, plus or minus 5 years. Where are they all at? Where are they at today? He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. I remember some of those that I prayed with as a teenager, because we were praying for the meeting. I remember that. I distinctly know of one that's not there. Oh, he's still alive, but he's not there. He's not carrying the load today, because he's got out from under the umbrella. Because he didn't maintain that secret place with the Most High. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why won't it come close to you? Because you have a secret place with the Most High. It's content. You're willing to spend the 45 hours a week. You're willing to spend the extra time that it takes to maintain it. You're willing to make the decisions to listen to something that'll feed your soul rather than something that'll make you scratch your head. There's so many things out there that, you know, the next step after scratching your head is pulling your hair. And there are so many things out there in the world that we can listen to today that'll first start, you're wondering, what did I hear? And then when you understand what it really was, you want to start pulling your hair out. Oh, what can we do about this? Why is all of this going on? And it's because so many people aren't really connected with the Lord. They might name the name, and I'm thankful for everyone that does, but there's something better than that. We need to have a personal connection, a secret place with the Most High. David said, now I'm paraphrasing a little bit, if you will live in the secret place of the Most High, this is what you'll get for it. If you will come, as my employer stated to everybody, if you will be there 45 hours a week, you will get $1 an hour. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I was paid by the work that I got done. And if I was there 50 hours and I turned out 60 hours, guess how many more dollars I got on my paycheck? I got 60. Not 50, not 45. I got 60. You know, if they were there 45 and turned out 55, they got 55 too. But if you only was there 38 and you turned out 45, you still just got 45 hours of pay. You didn't get extra money. Lord, help us to have that secret connection. It pays dividends, folks, because he said right here, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it won't impact you. You'll be able to stand. He said, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It'll be something that you can just observe. That's what I'm going to tell you I got out of that. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Do you see what David is saying here? There's a contingency in this verse. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, if you'll make the Lord your refuge. And David said, which is my refuge. David told Solomon, he's my refuge, and if you'll make him your refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil, listen to this, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You will be able to have victory in your soul right down to the end of life's way. And you'll be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You know, I believe that there is an element of angelic protection over all humanity. We'd all be destroyed if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies. I believe that's a scripture. But when the angels come around to protect me, I want to know them on a first name basis. I don't want them to show up in my life and I say, who are you? I want to have them be familiar with their presence. Lord, help us to live in the secret place where the angels of the Lord are not a stranger to us. He says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the most fierce predator and the sneakiest, most deadly thing that comes along. You'll be able to tread on them. What do we tread on? The floor. It's beneath us. The only one that I ever heard of that walked on the ceiling was a story about, I believe, Abraham Lincoln and his stepmother had whitewashed the cabin. Y'all remember that story? And Abe took his stepbrother and held him, and he got his feet dirty, and they walked up the wall, and he held him upside down, and he walked across the ceiling and back down the other side. We don't walk on the ceiling. We don't walk on the walls. We walk on the floor. We keep things beneath us. If If, remember this, if we'll have the secret place with the Almighty, we'll be under His shadow. And we'll walk, this is one of the benefits, thou shalt tread upon the most ferocious predator that could come your way, and the adder. They say that this, if you get bit by this particular snake, that you'll probably be dead in 3 or 4 hours, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's not even painful. It just kind of puts you to sleep. That's pretty sneaky, isn't it? It says the young lion and the dragon. The young lion that has so much energy and is trying to prove itself, and the newest thing that's out in the world that looks like it's going to consume Christianity, you'll be able to tread on that too. And the dragon, the imaginary thing, and in some people's eyes, the dragon is something that is a creature that breathes fire. The thing that could be most consuming, shall thou trample under your feet. How are you going to do that? If you have a secret place of the Most High. That's how you do it. You don't do it any other way. If you don't have the secret place of the Most High, the dragon's going to get you. The young lion's going to get you. The ones that's fallen by your side, you're going to be one of them. You're not going to keep victory. You're going to fall prey to the pestilence, the noisome pestilence. But the secret place of the Most High is what we got to have. Now, it seems like God speaks in the last, that was David, I believe. It seems like God is speaking now in the 14th verse. He says, because He has set His love upon me. Who's going to set His love on God, on me? Solomon specifically in this psalm, but it applies to you and I too. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. What does it mean to know somebody's name? It means you have a relationship with them, doesn't it? Somebody says, you know, give me a name. I'm going to start trying to scratch around. Do I know them? I've had to say sometimes, well, I've heard that name, but I'm not sure that I know who you're talking about. But He says here, I will set him on high because he had known my name. He's known the Lord. How do you get to know the Lord? You need to find a secret place of the Most High, one that's just between you and Him. He says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Yesterday, I'm driving down the road. I need to make a phone call. I sent the guy a text. I said, when you got a chance, if you got time, please call me. He's called me on Saturday. He's called me on Friday night. He's called me during the day when I'm working because he's had trouble with his truck. And he does water wells. And I had a water well question. And I sent him, he called me and I said, I got a well question for you. And so we talked about 15 minutes on the phone. And you know why he called me back? He knew my name. We had a relationship. When you know God's name and He knows your name and you've been in that secret place of the Most High, He says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. That's when I want my friend. That's the reason I called this guy yesterday, is because I got a trouble. We don't hang out together. I know that's a more current term. He probably does things I wouldn't do. But he's a business friend. I fix his truck, he fixes my wells. All right? I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I'll bless him. I want the Lord's blessings. Well, part of the way I can get blessings is if I have a secret place of the Most High. And he said in the last verse of this psalm, with long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. There's blessings, as they say, about the blessings of being a Christian. There's blessings in this life, and retirement is out of this world. It is. It's out of this world. It's beyond our comprehension. Retirement is. In retirement is only possible, if you can think of it like that. You know, we don't have to struggle. When we make it to eternity with the Lord, there ain't going to be no struggles. There's not going to be no noisome pestilence. There's not going to be no dragons. There's not going to be any of that other stuff. There's not going to be anybody that is by our side in heaven that all of a sudden it's like, what happened to him? Well, you know, he got tripped up. Cares of this life. That's not going to happen in heaven. You ever thought about that? Retirement with the Lord. Going to be out of this world. Be wonderful. Long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. I want you to be encouraged this morning. All of this, you can have it. Every one of us, we can have what David told Solomon he could have. The benefits, the blessings, the protection, you can have it all if 45 hours a week, that's all you got to do. You didn't have to turn out 45 hours. You just had to be there 45 hours for the job. You could be there 45 hours and turn out 30, and you got an extra $30 that week. You could be there 45 hours and turn out 70 and get $70 that week. Extra. You can have all of these blessings and all these benefits in life and in retirement that's out of this world. If you'll find that secret place of the Most High. That's the secret. That's the contingency. That's the thing that makes it all come together. Lord, help us all to have that desire to have the secret place with the Most High and be able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You pray for me.